attractive gina nagmaksaksak ng red. Good morning once again to everyone. I hope that everybody is fine today despite the heavy rain for the past 2 or 3 days. But let's pray for the typhoon to really go out na. Hindi na kita nanamian sa iya. We need water, but we have too much water. Okay, our place is flooded also. So, nag-ubo kami anay para nga makakanto diri. So, I believe nga damo man sa ato nang nag-ubog this morning. But anyway, rain or shine, we want to be in the presence of God. Because the presence of God is everything to us. The presence of God is everything to us. So, right now, we just want to collect the offerings. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, despite the rain, we are here because we want to honor you. And right now, as we come here, we honor you with our substance. You are the one who provided for us. You are the one who met our needs. You are the one, Lord, who gave us everything, and we want to remember you. Bless us, God, as we give. We know, Lord, that it is our responsibility, it is our duty to give, to remember you. But Lord, you also promise that you will bless those who give. And bless our tithes and offerings today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You are worthy of it all.
God, if you have your Bibles, kindly turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Thank you so much, song leaders. Thank you so much, musicians, for leading us into a time of worship. And AVL, thank you so much for your help today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading only one verse, and that is verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Let me repeat. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Father, encourage us today. Empower us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Having completed the main thrust of his letter, Paul brings his instruction and teaching to a formal conclusion. Considering all he has written to them, he urges the Corinthian believers to be strong and faithful. This is also an encouragement and a challenge to us here today as believers to be strong and faithful. More specifically, he tells them he loves them, referring to them as beloved brothers. Then he gives them several quick uplifting commands. When we see the word therefore in scripture, we should always back up to see why it is there. Why is the word therefore in the scripture? What is the therefore there for? The word therefore usually indicates a summation of what was previously stated. In this case, Paul addresses those who had fallen from his original teaching on the resurrection. Because they were embracing heresy and introducing destructive ideas contrary to the gospel. Paul restates the truth of Jesus' death for sin and bodily resurrection and then exhorts them to remain firm. Today, the title of my sharing is Able to Stand or Be Able to Stand. And my 3 points for this sharing is, number one, the character. Number two, the core. And number three is the credulity or the vulnerability. You know, there are now many ideas which are contrary to the scripture. We have heard of doctrines or teachings which are contrary to the gospel, to the word of God, which are contrary to the scriptures. We have groups, we have organizations that promote wrong teachings. They sound good ideas. They sound ideals, but they are actually contrary to the word of God. So number one right now, let's talk about the character. There are three words in this verse alone that deserve our attention. And what are they? Number one, the word steadfast. Number two, the word immovable. And number three, the word abounding. These are the characters needed to be able to stand. Together, these words describe a man whose faith does not fluctuate with his feelings or circumstances. Being steadfast and immovable is not a personality type. It is a posture, the state of a believer or the stand of a believer. Let's talk about steadfast. The word steadfast comes from the Greek word hedraios, which means being seated or set on a solid foundation. It means that Paul wants the believers to be faithful to the Lord and to his teaching about the Lord and to keep going on. Be steadfast. The second word here is immovable. The word immovable comes from ametakinetos. Ametakinetos, which means to stay put, to be rooted in place, and to refuse to be dislodged. One of the things that make a tree stand on its place or not being uprooted is the roots. Okay, the roots. So it is very important for us believers to have roots. And the ground which our roots hold on is also very important. Paul is very concerned about the Corinthian believers, because they had a tendency to compromise their behavior and even their beliefs for the sake of the culture in which they live. You know, the Philippines has so many cultures. There are good cultures and there are cultures that are not so good. But then there are many Filipinos who really are into some cultures which are actually contrary to the word of God. We have some beliefs. We even have some superstitions that cause us to be doubtful, that cause us to be confused. And sometimes it's so difficult for us to erase the confusion, the superstitions from our minds. To be steadfast and immovable is to be spiritually grounded. A steadfast person knows what he believes. Do you know what you believe in? Do you know your belief? Do you know your stand? So a steadfast person knows what he believes and cannot be tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. An unmovable or immovable person can hear false teachings. Of course, there are false teachings around. They can hear them. They can engage doubters and defend truth without being shaken in his own faith. Paul expresses his concern for this church. He said in 2 Corinthians 11:3, I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Deception is called deception because it deceives. Even believers who had been personally taught by the Apostle Paul were victims of deception. How much more vulnerable are we today? There are so many Christians today that they will only come to church, but they don't read the scripture, they don't read the Bible. They are so dependent from what they hear from the minister or from the pastor, and they don't have their own personal devotion. To remain steadfast and unmovable or immovable, we have to know the Word of God. We have to know the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, be diligent. When you say diligent, sometimes it takes sacrifice. Really be sacrificial in order to be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. To accurately handle the word of truth, we must not only read the Bible, but we must allow it to become part of us. The word of God must become part of us. That means wherever we go, wherever we are, the word of God is part of us. We mention it. We speak about it, we talk about it, we discuss it, we share it. Sometimes I wonder, when we are with our friends, do we talk about even one verse from the Bible to them? That is being steadfast, that is what we call accurately handling the Word of God, the Word of truth. The truth of the Word of God must penetrate our minds and hearts, that it shapes our thinking and our actions. The word should fill our minds that we can detect error when we hear it. Or else, we will just follow the crowd, not being discerning. You know, there are many good Christians today that cannot tell the wrong from right or the right from wrong. Especially in the teaching of the doctrines or teaching of the scriptures. Remember that Satan uses scripture for his own purposes, twisting it to sound as though it says something it does not say. Satan will add something into it, but the word of God does not say it. If we have not been diligent in our study and meditation on truth, we are vulnerable to error. Because false religions today, false teachings today can be persuasive. When they quote the Bible, they quote it to support their own errors. There are cult groups today. Even Christians can be deceived by smooth-sounding heresy if they do not have a solid grounding in the whole counsel of God. The Word of God tells us that even the very elect can be deceived. It is God's desire that we grow daily in our understanding of Him and His Word so that we will remain faithful to the end. That is our goal. Not just faithful for some time, not just faithful for a moment, but faithful to the end. And the third word is abounding. Abounding comes from periseo, meaning to be exceptional, to surpass the expected standard. You know, when we do something, the word abounding can be applied when what is expected from us, we surpass them. We surpass them. We are even better than the good. We are even better than the best. God gives each believer, each one of us, ways in which we serve God, we serve Him. by serving each other in the church. Believers should be doing so with enthusiasm. When we are given the chance to serve, are we excited about it? We should be excited about it. We should be happy about it. We should not drag ourselves to do it. This work we do for the Lord is guaranteed to continue, no matter for eternity, compared to so much of life that will cease to have meaning in years, days, or even minutes. We have so many promises from the world, but then they will only stay for years, even days, even minutes. If one word could sum up the nature of our commitment to the call of Christ in our life, it would be excellence. When we serve, should be excellence. When we commit, it should be done in excellence. Paul desired to excel in everything he did for the Lord. That was Paul. He mentioned it when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." This is for all of us who are serving. We should abound in the work of God. So he tackled his God assigned mission to preach the gospel with all out fervor, giving himself entirely to the work. Abounding in the work of the Lord has its root at the words of the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 48:10 says, "Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord with slackness." There is a curse. God is not happy when we do his work with slackness, because he expects excellence. Paul knew that life as a gospel minister was difficult. Difficult work. It was often tedious and thankless work. So he encourages the believers not to grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. You know, many times we become discouraged because it seems that we only work and work and not appreciated. We have done our best for the ministry, but sometimes we feel unappreciated. But the Bible tells us, do not be weary of doing good, because one day we will reap if we do not give up. Do not be weary of doing good, because in due season we will reap. It means one day we are going to have the result of what we have worked for. But then it reminds us, if we don't give up, we will really have good results when we don't give up. Brothers and sisters, leaders of this church, let us not give up, because one day we will reap the harvest. Maybe not now, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next year or not next month, but one day. That is the Lord's promise. God is a promise keeper. The term abounding also means being abundant or plentiful. Not just exceptional, but also abundant or plentiful. Going beyond or producing or existing in large quantities. The work of the Lord refers to the work of preaching, teaching, and being a minister of the gospel of Christ. Believers like you and me today can always be abounding in the work of the Lord, no matter what we do to further the kingdom of God. Whether we are on stage preaching the message or behind the scenes cleaning toilets, cleaning the church, or cooking like our melting pots. We ought to devote ourselves to our work wholeheartedly. Because the Bible tells us in Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I just want to mention this again. I was so very blessed with this one senior guy from the second service. He already passed on. Napatay na siya. But I was so very blessed. We were so very blessed by him because he considers sweeping the floor, arranging the chair, a ministry. He would always be the first one to arrive in the second service, and he will take the broom and clean, sweep the floor here, and arrange the chairs because the DJ cell group always disarranged the chairs. He always swept and arranged the chair. For him, it is a ministry. And he was always here every afternoon to do it. He did it wholeheartedly. Some of us, we may think, gapanilhig lang ko, hindi magini ministry. No, you are wrong. It is a ministry. Cleaning the toilet is a ministry. Let's say, higuib lang toilet, butaas ang ipot da. Let's say kung sino magamit sina. Nobody will use it. But since you are there, they are thankful you are there. God is happy you are there. I am happy you are there cleaning it. It is a ministry. To our church elders, to all preachers here, to all teachers here, and ministry workers, all HOD here, Paul has this message to you as he wrote this to Titus in Titus 2:7-8. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. Character, steadfastness, immovable, and abounding. We need that to be stable, to be able to stand. Now, for my second point is the core, the center. To truly grasp the significance of our labor not being in vain, we must comprehend the scripture's teaching on the resurrection. We should understand the resurrection. We must believe in the resurrection. Because that's the reason why Paul wrote to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is composed of 16 chapters. But on the last verse of chapter 15, he reminded them about the resurrection. Because that is the core of everything we do. That is the center of everything we do. The resurrection of Jesus stands at the core of the gospel and Christian living. Why do we share the good news? Because Jesus died on the cross? No. We share the good news because Jesus rose from the dead. The death of Jesus on the cross was not complete without the resurrection. We preach Christ's death and resurrection. We don't go out to just preach that Jesus died on the cross on a Good Friday, but there is an Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday to tell people that yes, Jesus died, but He rose from the dead. And that is good news. Sino magsiling ang death good news? Death is never a good news, but resurrection is a good news. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 17. You know, without Jesus' resurrection, Christianity would be rendered meaningless. But why is it that the biggest group right now of believers or biggest religion right now is Christianity? Because there is hope. We believe there is hope because Jesus rose from the dead. And for us here today, if you feel your life is hopeless, if you think your life is hopeless, you are wrong. There is always hope because of the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:14 to 17 tells us, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. But Christ rose from the dead. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise Him, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. You are still in your sins, your faith is futile if Christ has not been raised. But the truth is, Jesus rose from the dead." After affirming the certainty of a future resurrection for all believers, Paul urges them and us to stand fast, because ultimately the reality of the resurrection gives meaning to our Christian work. Because of the resurrection, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Christian lifestyle encompasses blessings, responsibilities, and trials. While we relish the blessings, we may grow weary of doing good and disheartened when facing trials and temptations. But why do we still continue? Without the assurance of resurrection, why endure persecution? Kung wala malang resurrection, why do we endure persecution? Why do we endure trials? Why do we resist temptations? And why we tread the difficult path? If life is confined only to this world, our labors on behalf of Christ would indeed be in vain. But fortunately, that's not the case. Jesus' resurrection serves as undeniable proof that we too will experience resurrection. And resurrection will be followed by reward for God's children. When we are able to stand because of steadfastness, because we are immovable, because we are abounding in the work of God, we will not just rise from the dead, but we will receive our rewards. It is also mentioned in our text, our labor should be in the Lord. Okay? When Paul speaks of meaningful labor, he is not referring to work aimed at achieving personal ambitions, but work dedicated to the expansion of God's kingdom. And our labor in the Lord includes the good things we do, like showing generosity for the Lord, fighting for justice for the Lord, extending kindness for God, and evangelizing others. All these things hold eternal significance, and nothing done for the Lord is in vain. We have a common saying at Christians. They say this: "Don't be so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good." This is about being spiritual, but we are becoming useless in our family. We are so active in the church activities, but we are not helping in the household chores. We are good, we are very spiritual in the church, but in our workplace, we don't show Christianity. Okay? This is a sentiment attributed to Oliver Wendell Sr. However, the reverse is often the case. A strong belief in eternity gives the empowerment to do what is right, regardless of challenges. When you believe in eternity, it gives you power to do what is right, no matter what happens. C.S. Lewis stated this: "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. What does he mean? Whatever we have right now, it's because of what the former Christians were doing. We are now the result of what they have done. The early church opposed infanticide. It's the early church. They opposed infanticide and rescued abandoned babies. But during the 3rd century, there was a plague. They call it the plague of Cyprian. The plague of Cyprian. And what is this plague of Cyprian? It was a devastating pandemic that swept through the Roman Empire between 249 and 262 CE. Okay? Modern scientists have not yet definitely identified the specific pathogen, though historically, symptoms point strongly to smallpox. So it's believed it was a smallpox ang plague of Cyprian. But you know, when that happened, there was no vaccine. People were not immune. We thank God today that we have vaccines for smallpox. We have vaccines for chickenpox. We have vaccine for almost everything, every type of skin disease or any sickness. I just recovered from shingles. Okay? I asked the doctor, what's the cause, doc? What is the cause of shingles? The doctor told me that, the doctor said that shingles is the part two of chickenpox or smallpox is the part two. It means that when you experience chickenpox, maybe smallpox, when you were small, because there was no vaccine, you were not immune. So the virus, it's a virus that stays in your your spinal cord, spinal column. And when time comes, when your resistance becomes very low, it will appear. Not already a chickenpox, but as shingles. So if ever I pass my shingles to you and you have not gone through smallpox, what will go to you is not shingles. It will be smallpox or chickenpox. So I thank God I just got healed, even though I still feel some pain here. You know, ang tawag nila blanga tikos bla. Okay? We have a belief before when you have tikos, it will start in the middle, will go around your waist, and when it connects back, you will die. We have that belief, right? Magtabo siya kung mapatay ka. So I asked the doctor, I said, Doc, is that true? He said, no, it's not true. It's not true. The Chinese believe that, but it's not true. The reason why you die is because your immune system is so low that you cannot take the virus. So you will die. And the reason why the tikos goes round is because really your immune system is so low in that it will cause you death. Not because of shingles, but because you are so low in your immune. Okay? So, but I thank God. So I asked him, Doc, what should I do? What should I do? I asked him, Doc, why is it that I have this? He asked me, did you have smallpox before? Yes, I did. So you didn't have the immunization. That's why when it came back, it becomes shingles. And another thing that will cause your shingles nga magwa is stress. Kapuy. So those nga may mga naka-go through some chickenpox without the immunization, don't be stressed. Kasi magka-shingles ka mo. And I asked him, so Doc, what should I do? Okay, take antibiotics, take this. And you know, he said, I take 5 times, okay, a day. 5 times a day. And 800 milligrams of antibiotics, 5 times a day for 7 days. I'm thankful that I'm recovering, even though there are still some marks on my skin. And now I just feel there's a little like a burning thing in my under my skin. I didn't know that it was shingles because how come there is like something like is burning on my skin? Like I was scratched. Doon na ba grass bala mahapdi? Pero wala mang kupilas. It's actually behind my skin. So I can feel when I rub my skin right now, I can feel a little pain. But I know I'm recovering because those that are outside are already healed. So hindi ka mo mapalapit sa akin, ha? Hindi ka mapalapit sa akin. So what happened sa ining plague of Cyprian? There were so many people who died na affected by the Cyprian plague. But you know, it was the Christians who took care of them. Christians sacrificed their lives. And many Christians even died because they were infected due to taking good care or taking care of those who were affected by this plague. Jesus said, if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. Leaders of this church, those who are going for the essential commission, you are not giving them a cup of water. You are giving them groceries, right? But even Jesus said, even if just a cup of cold water, you will surely be rewarded. So the labor does not have to be laborious. We think that when we labor in the Lord, it should be very laborious. No, even a cup of cold water. How difficult is it to just give a cup of cold water to a person? It's so easy. But even how easy it is, it will be rewarded. Whatever is done for Christ is not done in vain. Hebrews 6:10 tells us, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. Brothers and sisters, we can always be steadfast, immovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord if we keep the same tenacious attitude as Paul. If we have the same tenacity as Paul. Paul completed the job with unswerving dedication until the day he said, I am ready. I am ready. Even to face death. Recognizing that serving Christ involves real labor. The rewards of heaven are worth going all out for, which is what Paul meant when he said, our labor is not in vain because there will be rewards. When the going gets tough or unexciting, those who are having ministries must remember, never tire of doing what is good. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. We are not called to idleness, but to diligence. But the question today is, do you have Paul's tenacity? My third point now is the credulity, or all what I call our vulnerability. That is another word for credulity, vulnerability. We are all born vulnerable to instability. We all have the capacity or the tendency to become unstable in our lives. But before talking about how to stand firm, it is worth being honest about what knocks us off our footing in the first place. We should know the things that will knock us off or will knock us down. Staying steadfast and immovable is not just a matter of trying harder. It requires knowing our specific vulnerabilities. You know, many Christians today fall because they do not know what knocks them off. They are not careful with life. They are not careful with what they are doing with their lifestyle until they do not know that they are knocked out. Just like Samson. Samson was really undermining God and the laws of God. He ate the unclean. He goes to the prostitutes. He really undermined God until one day, the Bible tells us, when Delilah cut his hair, he stood and shook as if he could still do things as what he did before. But the Word of God says he didn't know that the Spirit of God left him. And there are things sa aton kabuhi in our lives, brothers and sisters, nga ginaubra naton, that cause us to be knocked down. And we don't know. We do not know. Because we are not careful. And what are those things that may cause us to be knocked down or to be knocked off? Number one is doubt. Okay? Doubt is one of the most common cause why we are down. Doubt. It is not the healthy kind that leads to deeper conviction, but the kind that festers quietly when a man stops engaging Scripture and starts absorbing the assumptions of the culture around him. When you are not in God's Word, you become susceptible to every wind of teaching. Ephesians 4:14 tells us, then we will no longer be infants. Paul is telling us, many of us are like infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Many believers today are tossed back and forth by the waves. They come and they go. They are present and they are absent because they are in doubt. They don't know the Word of God. Second vulnerability is busyness. This is another threat. A man who is constantly rushing rarely has the margin to be spiritually grounded. We think akong busy ka, nami? No. Many times, rushing will cause us to be spiritually ungrounded. Good things crowd. They crowd out the best things of life. When you are busy, you cannot pray, you cannot study, you cannot do anything because you're always busy. Remember this, good things may crowd out the best things. God has best things for us, that many times we cannot have the best things because we settle for good things. Third, isolation. This is quietly devastating. A man who has no one asking him hard questions or holding him accountable is a man who is more likely to drift. When nobody visits you, when nobody asks you, when nobody corrects you, then you will drift because you are alone. I like to watch the movie The Gladiators. Okay? The Gladiators, especially by Russell Crowe, the part one. See, they were trained to fight. Okay? They trained for personal combat because that's what they did. But then because this man, Maximus, he was a commander. He knows how to work corporately. Okay, he works corporately. And then, you know, when they were there in the Colosseum, they were surrounded by chariots, some with spears and some with arrows. And some of them, gidugin dalasa sila. You know, when all his companions saw that there were so many enemies, many of them panicked. They ran here, they went there, so they were vulnerable to attacks. Many of them were killed. But then this guy, Maximus, he ordered, I cannot remember what he said, but what they did is they locked shields. They locked shields. They compressed. They compress, not allowing any space between them. They compress with all their shields out. And we know, we witnessed in the movie what happened. When the chariot wants to run over them, ang chariot natumba. Because they lock shields. See, we should be close together. Drift one. Drift ka lang. A person who drifts, okay, will always be exposed. When you drift, you will always be exposed to the enemy's attack. When you go out of the group, you will always be exposed in the enemy's attacks. Isolation. You want to do things your own. You want to be alone. You don't want people to check on you, to ask you. We had contacts before in one place where we used to visit. And when we visit them, they always say, "Hindi mo na kami kinanglan pala upun ah." So, what happened? Because wala sila gin-follow up, wala man sila nagbalik. That's what happened. That can happen. Isolation. Fourth, moral compromise. Okay? Moral compromise erodes steadfastness over time. It rarely happens in one dramatic moment. It happens in 100 small decisions where a man chooses comfort over conviction. Serving God faithfully requires the kind of integrity that holds in private, not just in public. You know why I want to share on this? Because I noticed that some Christians, and some of them are in church, they don't already realize that they are going the wrong way. They had been moved. They thought nga they are still in faith just because they come to church. But the way they behave, the way they live their lives is already out of the will of God. And they did not even realize it. When you ask them about it, they will just ignore you. They will not pay attention. You ask them, "How is your moral life?" Oh, they ignore you. They won't answer because they don't want to talk about it. Abi nilaga pahilabot ikaw. Of course, may labot gidman kita because we care for them. Why you ask your members about their life? Hindi because gapahilabot ka, but because you care for them. Like as an HOD, you ask, just bago lang natapos ang bagyo, kagabaha, HOD will ask, "Kamusta kamo tanan? Gapahilabot ba lang ang HOD sa inyong alagay?" Wala. Concern lang siya sa inyo. And that's why I want to share this because I think, I feel that many of us, we didn't realize that we have already left God spiritually. We can be in church, but we have left God. We can be in the ministry, but we have left God. Or the presence of God has left us. How are we in private? Maybe in public, we are good, we are nice. We are spiritual, we are godly. But how about in private, when nobody sees you? Finally, fifth one, discontent. Discontent pulls men away from stability in ways they do not always recognize. What it actually means to be content is a biblical concept worth understanding. Because a man who is always striving for something else due to discontentment rarely plants himself deeply enough to be steadfast and immovable where God has placed him. When we always run, when we always strive for something else, then that is a sign of discontentment. All of us have been trying so hard to stand and be able to stand. But the truth is, our too hard is not enough. In the end, we always feel that our Christianity is in vain and all our labor is in vain, meaningless and futile. Maybe some of us are feeling like that today. Though nag-abot ka na bala sa point nga you feel ang imo ginaubra is meaningless. Nakapoy ka lang pero wala bunga. You know why? Because our life is focused on our chores, not on the core. We are so focused in what we do, in what we are doing, but we forgot the core, why we are doing it. Why do we serve? We are so engrossed in serving until we become tired and we forget the purpose why we are serving. We forgot the core. Some more, many of us are not living right. We have been tossed back and forth by waves because of doubt. We allowed good things to crowd out the best things. We refuse accountability. We isolate. We don't want to get involved. We have been striving to reach something else but God. And there is even an issue and question about our moral lives. So due to our credulity or being vulnerable, it is really difficult and almost impossible to be stable. Almost impossible to remain standing. Let me ask you this morning, can you guarantee me that you can always stand every day? Can you guarantee me that you are always strong every day? We are not. I include myself. I am also vulnerable. We are all. But when we go back to the theme of this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there is a theme. It is about resurrection of Christ. That is the theme of 1 Corinthians 15. The core of the gospel and Christian living is the resurrection of Christ. It reminds us that Jesus died on the cross and was buried but was raised on the third day. 1 Corinthians 15:4. Without Jesus' resurrection, Christianity would be rendered meaningless. There would be no resurrection, of course, if there was no death. And that's why many of us are going through something like death. We are not moving. We are not growing. It's like death. Resurrection, there will be no resurrection without death. Therefore, we must die first to the things that destabilize our faith in order to rise anew. What are those things that destabilizes our faith? Doubt, isolation, discontentment, moral compromise, and busyness. We should die on those. But of course, as human, we really cannot do it. That's why Jesus took that death, which we are supposed to die. Jesus took that death for you. And Jesus made a way for us to rise anew when Jesus rose from the dead. We admire Paul Because Paul was really great. Paul mentioned he has thorns in the flesh. But even then, he continued to serve God until death. But we have Jesus, our greater Paul, who also never gave up. But his death and resurrection gives us hope in life. Paul died for God and for himself. But Jesus died and rose from the dead for all of us to give us hope. And that hope will help us to be able to stand. Remember this. We have so many chores in life. But don't forget about the core. The core, which is the resurrection of Jesus, gives us hope in this life to be able to stand anything. I just want to tell you, when we have Jesus in our lives, no matter how difficult our circumstances are, they will just make you as pure as gold. Circumstances will make you purer as gold when we have Jesus in our lives. There is resurrection, there is hope, and we will be able to stand. In conclusion, the Bible reminds us again, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Let me ask you this morning, are there things that you need to let go in your life? If you want to rise up, do it now. Rise now, because the grace of God is there. And for those who are serving the Lord, remember the reward God has prepared for those who labor in the Lord. Reward for those who have given their best for the kingdom of God. In the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Shall we all pray? I just want to encourage you.